We're still decades out from stepping foot on Mars, but if and when we ever land on Jupiter's moon Europa, there may be no need to bring water. Let's learn more on this episode of Sky Talk with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, that seems to solve at least some of our problems, much less travel weight.
Water, of course, weighing 8 pounds a gallon is one of those things that's a real sort of deterrent, in a sense, to space travel, because if you have to carry water, oh my gosh, you're better off if you can find it someplace or make it. Now, finding it someplace, of course, would be the most ideal thing. And there are lots of hints about the possibility of the existence of liquid water in the solar system, in the galaxy, across the universe. But there's confirmation only at a very few places. So Mars is a good example of that. We're almost 100% certain that Mars had a tremendous amount of liquid water in the past. And we know that there's water ice frozen into the polar craters of the moon, those that don't receive any sunlight.
Not very much.
Not very much, though. But in this instance, we're talking about a totally different situation. Now we finally have absolute 100% confirmation that there is liquid water at the moon Europa. The very cool thing about this is that Europa has an icy crust that's a few miles thick, and it is suspected that the amount of water at Europa would equal twice as much as the amount of water in the oceans here on Earth.
Liquid water.
Absolutely, 100% H2O liquid water.
What's providing the heat source?
Well, that's the fun part about this is, how do you figure out what the heat source might be for this? In one instance, one might suggest something like atomic decay, the decay of atomic minerals over time that would generate some heat. So that's one possibility. But when you look at this moon, it's not very big. It's only slightly smaller than our own moon. So the interior probably doesn't have that going for it. Another good possibility is simply tidal forces, the big planet Jupiter and the other moons of Jupiter pulling back and forth on the planet creates a friction on the interior that keeps the water liquid.
Say, Derek, do the rules of arithmetic work across the universe? Here's a simple equation. Galaxy plus galaxy plus galaxy equals?
Three supermassive black holes at the core of one combined galaxy?
Wow.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? Well, astronomers have just been able to identify something of the sort that seems to be happening out there in our universe right now. Wolfram Kalachny of the University of Göttingen in Germany has made an observation in which his team has been able to see three supermassive black holes at the core of one galaxy, suggesting that three galaxies collided. In fact, analysis of the data shows that those three galaxies are still in a process of merging together. So here we have a very, very unusual observation of some of the antics that were going on in the early history of our universe.
Moons orbit planets, planets orbit stars, but could a planet instead orbit a black hole?
Two Japanese astronomers, Kaichi Wada and Aichiro Kokoba, now suggest through mathematics that it could be possible for planets to form around a black hole, given the distance is far enough away. They're suggesting that a distance of 10 light years is enough for that process of planetary accretion in a dust ring around the black hole. That's enough distance for planets to begin to form.
Derek, still 3 weeks out from winter solstice, but it sure seems to be getting dark awful early.
So coming up this Tuesday, actually, we hit that period of time when we have the earliest sunsets for the year. 4:35 is the time, and we'll have that sunset time from Tuesday until December the 10th, a week later. And then the sunsets begin to come later, very, very slowly, until we get through the end of the year, because we still have to get around to the absolute latest sunrise that comes in early January. But by that time, we'll see enough of an increase in the evening time, I think we'll begin to sense the coming of spring already. I'm always a couple of weeks ahead of this, but that's what's coming up next.
So with clear, dark skies, what are some highlights this week?
Plenty of great stuff. In the morning sky, you'll find at 5:15 a.m., Mercury and Mars not far from each other, but observe the gap between the two of them. In fact, the distance between the two is 121 million miles. Mercury close to us, Mars, very, very far away from us. And in the evening sky, we have a similar setup. If we go out just tonight at 5:15, you'll find the Moon, Saturn, Venus, and Jupiter in a diagonal line down toward the south-southwestern horizon. Venus, of course, is the closest of the three planets. The Moon is merely 244,000 miles away. But between Venus at 134 million miles away and Saturn at over 1 billion miles away, the gap between those two, 868 million miles. Please mind the gap.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.